Last week I began a series of what I would call the five major themes of my preaching over the last 3 years as a sort of summary and farewell in these few weeks that I have remaining with you. So last week we talked about how our mission as Christians flows from our interior life, flows from our prayer. And the theme I want to talk about today is kind of an extension of that theme. I want to talk about life in the Spirit. See, faith must not be as simply one component of our life, a kind of hobby that we all have. If it is, it's really incoherent in itself, because the claims of faith are claims that orient, that are meant to orient the whole self. Faith is a constitutive element that gives shape and form, meaning and purpose to everything that we do. So faith, in order to be true and living faith, it must impact our thoughts and our actions. Faith is not something a part of our life. Faith informs all of our life. St. Paul spoke clearly. He wrote clearly in a dichotomy, an either or. Either, he says, we live in the Spirit, or we live by the flesh. Either we live by the Spirit of God, or we live by the spirit of the world. We're in this time leading up to Pentecost and celebrating Ascension today, where we're begging for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that Jesus asked us to pray for. He asked His apostles to pray for. Today we heard in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, may God the Father give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of Him. So I want to talk about having our thoughts transformed as part of our living in this Spirit. This Spirit that the Father is going to give us, the Spirit of wisdom, is the Holy Spirit, just to be clear. So life in the Spirit involves the mind coming to the knowledge of God, St. Paul is saying. For God, the reality of who God is, to be revealed to us, and we grasp and come to know Him. A mind that is altered, it's changed from the way it is shaped by the world. Receiving the Spirit results in knowing Him. Meaning, we didn't know Him before we received the Spirit. You ever notice trees that are bent, sometimes nearly sideways, because of the conditions out of which they grew? For whatever reason, probably because they needed to grow that way in order to receive the sunlight. I've even been to places where the whole forest, all the trees are angled towards the south, you know, at least in our hemisphere, to get more sun. Now, we all know that the tree standing up straight would be better in the end. But in its context, in competition with all those other trees, they all did the same thing, leaning. The world around them influenced their formation and their growth. Is it not the same with us? Without realizing it, our minds are shaped, are warped, and we're not thinking straight. We need something to set us right. Something dramatic. St. Paul said, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The renewal of your mind. Why? That you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. seems to be saying that if our mind is not renewed and transformed, if we don't reject the world and decide to not be conformed to this age, we won't know the will of God. We won't know what is good. We won't know what pleases God. Our call is not to conformity, but to transformation. So this life in the Spirit, part of it has to do with how the church relates to the world. And we're not completely in opposition to the world. We do not see the world as evil in itself. We don't have to run and hide and separate ourselves totally from the world. But certainly the opposite is not true. We do not want to be conformed to the world and to this age. Rather, as the church, we ought to have a Spirit-filled engagement with the world, having received the mind of God and seeking to instill His truth in the world that is around us, that we are in, but not of. We are in the world, but not of the world. I want to read here from Father Cunzel de Mesa. I've read from him before. He's the papal preacher in this book about the Holy Spirit. He says, "There is no sacrifice without a death. In the Mass, the offertory precedes the consecration. Every oblation becomes perfected when the victim has been sacrificed. We cannot deceive ourselves about offering the whole world as a sacrifice if we ourselves do not die to the world. St. Paul, after his exhortation to offer our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, continued by saying, 'Do not be conformed to this world.' And elsewhere he declared, 'The world has been crucified to me, and I to the world.' Here we discover the original and fundamental meaning of consecrated and holy, which in Hebrew is the word kadosh. Because of their consecration, Christians are kadosh, that is, different, separate, set apart. We need to reacquire a sense of being kadosh. Spiritually, speaking prophetically of those who would be living in the end times, meaning us, the prophet Isaiah said, someone will declare, 'I belong to the Lord,' and another will write on his hand, 'The Lord's.' Revelation shows the counterpart to this, the mark of the beast inscribed on one's forehead or hand, indicates belonging spiritually to the powers of this world that Satan directs. The call here has never been more urgent. The world has become so invasive that it now follows us into our homes. It assails us with messages that are diametrically opposed to the Word of God. This warning in Revelation is relevant. 'Come out of her, my people, so that you do not take part in her sins.' Babylon, as St. Augustine explained, is the opposite of the city of God. It is the city of Satan, the city built on love of self with extreme contempt for God. We need to come out of that Babylon, which we also carry inside of ourselves, without leaving human society and solidarity with our brothers and sisters. Since the principle of the world is egotism, not being conformed to this world means not being egotistical, but loving and being a neighbor to all men and women. We need to make this separation from the world real and concrete through specific actions. We cannot pretend to die to the world and then continue on just as we were before. Swallowing everything the world says, thinks, and does, surrendering to all its demands and all its lusts. 'No man can serve two masters,' Jesus said. For example, how much time do we spend reading about the world's activities reported in the newspapers? And how much time do we spend reading about God's activities reported in the Bible? The world has need of separated ones, so so that it does not collapse from its own spiritual emptiness and barrenness. It needs the salt of the earth in order to be spared the consequences of its own corruption. The world needs those whose minds have been transformed by the Spirit of God to see as God sees, to love what God loves. Has your mind been transformed in this way? How would we know? Well, do you run away from all the discomforts and sufferings that pass by, refusing to believe that they can be willed by God for a good purpose? If so, your mind may not yet be transformed. Do you believe that the church is behind the times, as if the truth itself were subject to change? Or that the culture around us were somehow fundamentally oriented towards the common good? If so, your mind has not been transformed by the Spirit of Christ. Do you allow your social group to be the one thing that molds and defines the way you think? As Father Cantalamessa said, do you read God's Word? Do we spend as much time receiving the word of truth as we do hearing all of the messages that inundate us from everywhere else? Do you strive to know and understand the teachings of the church, to which Jesus entrusted the Spirit to guide us into all truth? His words, not mine. These are the marks of a mind transformed by the Spirit. Jesus called the Spirit the promise of the Father, the Spirit of truth, the life-giving Spirit. We want our faith not just to be a hobby, but something that truly orients and brings purpose to everything we do. If so, we must have a mind open to being transformed by the power of God's Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, enlighten the minds and hearts of the faithful.